Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you show mercy to your people in all their troubles. Grant us always to recognize your goodness. Give thanks for your compassion and praise your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we now continue with our readings.
Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Ruth, first chapter, reading from the first verse. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moab wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. And both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as he has dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to the people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say that I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me for your sake that the land of the Lord has gone and out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. When you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, reading from the first verse. "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
In our gospel lesson for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, we are reminded of the importance of giving thanks to our Lord. It's found in St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we sing "Jesus, Our Cornerstone."
Thank you.
Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What's in the book of Ruth anyway? I mean, yes, toward the end you have the whole idea of the kinsman redeemer firmly explained with the great example of Ruth and Boaz. In fact, isn't that what we normally think of when we think of the book of Ruth? If you've read the book of Ruth, you know how the kinsman redeemer works, how Boaz redeemed the family line of Naomi. Then there's that whole romantic element as Boaz kind of courts Ruth. It does seem to be the overwhelming element of the story. But what do you do with the story when you only have the very first few verses? So what do you do with those? What do you do with the first few verses? What do you do with the beginning? There's no romance. There's only pain. There is only pain, and it's the worst kind of pain. It's not the kind of pain you experience when you stub your toe or receive some other injury that's been inflicted upon you. No, it isn't that kind of pain. It's the pain of losing your loved one. A decade. That's all it took. All there was, 10 years. It can seem so long, but for Naomi, it must have been excruciating. 10 years to lose your husband and 2 sons. Of course, we don't notice the pain. It's only the first few verses. We notice the love story. We notice the larger picture of it all. We know that God will work in and through this pain to bring about good things. But what about for Naomi? What about for Ruth? Right then, right there, I think all there was pain. See, we always like to talk about the big picture. We always like to talk about how God is working through all the pain and all the grief and all the sorrow. We try to focus on the big picture because we know that the smaller picture, the one that fills our days and our hours, sure doesn't always seem like it. It doesn't seem so grand. It doesn't seem all that happy. So how's your small picture doing? Do you see what God is doing in your life with every step, or do you instead see a great mystery? What's your day-to-day like? What's it like when you're in the daily grind of it all? Each passing day can bring joy or tragedy or something in the middle. It's the small picture. But it's the picture we see. It's the picture that we live in. The one that we really can't get past. It's true that we don't know what tomorrow will bring. It's true that we cannot see the big picture of it all. Sometimes we simply rejoice because in the moment it seems like that's what's called for. Sometimes there are other times that we can't deal with all the pain that we receive because, well, in the moment, That seems what it calls for. Naomi and Elimelech, they go to Moab. They went there because there was a famine in the land of Israel. There was nothing to eat. And from the small picture view, it didn't seem like there was going to be anytime soon. So Elimelech took his wife and two sons, and they go. But Elimelech dies. It's the first tragedy. It's the first piece of real pain, real anguish that Naomi must have felt. The loss of her husband, the father of her children, and to the sons, the loss of their father. But you guys know how life is. It doesn't matter how much it kicks you. You have to get up. You have to dust yourself off. And you have to go at it again. And this is what Naomi and her two sons do. But all in a 10-year span. In a 10-year span, the sons marry, and then both of them pass away. Now realize, you see, in the ancient world, there wasn't a whole lot that a woman could do. It's not as if she could just get a job in this scenario. The two wives, that is, Orpah and Ruth, they have the best option. They can just go back to their homes. They can just kind of try to pick up where they left off to the best of their ability. Naomi, she's the one that's in the worst position. She doesn't really have anything to go back to. Normally, her husband would own land and be her safeguard. And if her husband passed away, it would be her sons. But for Naomi, those are gone as well. Her tribe would have been the next part, the next one that could care for her. But notice in the opening sentences of this book, it says that this is the time of the judges. That is to say, this is the time when the people of God were really not acting like the people of God. Naomi would have been without really a lot of options. Her option would have been to throw herself at the mercy of her people and simply hope for the best. It's not a pretty situation. It's not a fun situation. Let us call it what it is. It's a miserable, horrible, tragic situation. The amount of pain and hopelessness that Naomi must have felt during this time period must have been absolutely beyond belief. The loss of loved ones, the loss of hope. And while I wouldn't argue that it was good fortune or anything, the fact that Ruth wanted to stay, that Ruth wanted to cling to Naomi, does offer at least a little bit of hope. At least it might help with the loneliness, the gathering of food and the like. But think about it from Ruth's side. Why does she stay? Why does she stay? I don't know if we'll ever know the full answer, but I think it would have to be more than just her love for Naomi. Something deeper must have compelled her to stay by her side, to have that unwavering loyalty. I know, it's all in the smaller, narrow view. That's where all of this takes place, of course. There is a larger view. There is a larger view of all these events. Whoever wrote this book didn't want you to miss it. The story of Ruth and Boaz certainly is a nice one. The fact that Boaz acts as a kinsman redeemer, redeeming the family line of Naomi that was lost with the death of her husband and her two sons. That's certainly a great thing. Boaz marrying Ruth, giving his own family name up to redeem Naomi's family name. It's very important. But the author wants you to notice something else. It's right at the start. It's repeated. It's repeated twice. Elimelech is from Bethlehem. There isn't any reason for the author to say it twice, but there it is. And then if you read all the way to the end of the book, all the way through chapter 4, right at the end, there's something else. Another duplication, if you will. It's the lineage of David. It's said twice. It's said twice to make sure you don't miss it. It's a big picture. I know, it's a big picture. And it's hard to see through all the pain and all the suffering, but there it is, clear as day. The author wants you to know. While the small picture might be filled with pain and with grief, there is a big picture. We might not see it. We might not ever truly see the big picture in our own lives, but it's there. And really, even beyond that, there is a bigger picture even yet. For all this in the lineage of David is also the lineage of Jesus. This is the lineage of our Lord, and for us, that means quite a bit. For us, we have a bigger picture that's bigger than all of us. Yes, our Lord came to us in the midst of our pain and in the midst of our suffering. But even more than that, our Lord shows us the bigger picture in the midst of our suffering. It is there that He shows us that there is so much more. Life will not always be this way. Jesus Christ rose on the third day. He didn't stay dead. And His promise to us isn't so much about the here and now as much as it is about the big picture. Jesus has ascended into heaven, but there will be a time when He descends, when He returns to us, when He takes us to be with Him. If we have died, if we have succumbed to the mystery, the misery and the sin of this world, He will raise us up just as He first resurrected. So shall we be. He will take us to be with Him for eternity. This is the big picture. This is the picture that we have, that we hold to during those tough times, knowing that through faith, Christ will take us to be with Him in glorified and resurrected bodies. And this is the news that needs to be spread. It needs to be told. It needs to go out into the world. This is the news that you need to say and to be able to say to your friends and to your acquaintances. Yes, Jesus has been raised from the dead. Yes, Jesus is coming. And so we put our faith in Him. We put our faith in the big picture. We put our faith in Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, in His name. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we now confess our sins before God, our Heavenly Father, in the words of a prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come before You this day, Lord, because we are sinful. We have sinned in our thoughts and words and deeds, and we ask, Lord, that You would look upon us with mercy, not for our sake or our deed's sake, but for the sake of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us now as we confess our sins before You in a brief moment of silence. Hear us, O Lord. Forgive us, O Lord, for the sake of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we continue our service with our gifts and our offerings. If you could find that book of friendship down on the side by the aisles, sign that, get to know the people around you. That would be great. Thank you.
stand as we bow our heads in prayer. Living God, you give us all things in Christ. Receive our tithes and offerings as a joyful response to your love for us. Dear Lord, we have a lot that can cause us to waver, both in our faith as well as in our lives as a whole. May the story of Ruth motivate us with your help to imitate her unwavering loyalty to you and to her mother-in-law. Almighty God, we pray for our country and its leaders. Give them wisdom that they seek your guidance as they strive to work together in solving some challenging situations facing them and us. We pray for all members of our armed forces. Help them to serve honorably in the task of protecting our land from enemies. Give them wisdom in carrying out their orders so that through them, our country and other nations are being protected. Dear Father in heaven, we ask your blessings upon the Epiphany Society's Fall Bazaar, which they will be having this coming Saturday. Thank you for all who are making contributions in any way to help make this annual event a success. Bless the members of the society as they continue to share their time, talent, and treasures in so many ways within our congregation, in our district, and throughout the world. Lord God, give to the suffering relief and to the sick healing, and give them patience under the burden of their afflictions. Especially be with Gene Schaefer, who has been released from Unity Point Methodist, Dick Jones, who has been released from Unity Point Pekin, Carl Frazier, who is having medical difficulties, and those who are battling cancer, Karen Babb, Shalina Bolson, Tammy Glass, Kathy Green, Lisa Holloman, Deborah Jamison, Chris Miller, Billy Moore, Camilla Coy, Dick Rona, Deb Shea, and Cheryl Ubin. Almighty God, we ask that you would give us the weather needed for farmers to continue harvesting their crops. We pray for their safety throughout the season. We offer a special prayer for those in California who are being affected by the wildfires. O God, giver of life, we ask your blessings upon members of the congregation celebrating birthdays this week. John Cron, Jody McFarland, Carl Frazier, Deborah Jamison, Jan Schlater, Rick Leisman, and Nancy Fairchild. Creator of marriage, we rejoice with couples of our congregation who are observing their wedding anniversaries this week. Ken and Ann Lutz, Mark and Reva Simpson, Chris and Christy Martis, Bob and Patty Arms, and Corey and Natalie Gallo. It is our prayer that they remain faithful to you and to each other. God of all this, we pray weekly for members of our congregation. This morning we offer special petitions for the Wyrie, the White, and the Willard families, that you would give them an extra portion of your love and care. Heavenly Father, be with those who will be receiving Holy Communion, that we might do so in prayer with prepared and penitent hearts, rejoicing our Savior who visits us with his very body and blood to work the miracle of forgiveness of sins among us. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, that you delight to hear the prayers of your people and that you have promised to be gracious to us and to answer us for the sake of your Son, our Savior, who has taught us his prayer, which we now join together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament of my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." You may be seated as we now continue our service at the Lord's Supper.
Thank you.
again, I just wanted to thank everybody. I know trying new things is hard, and so I think all things considered, I think it really, really went well. If you wouldn't mind, please stand for the blessing. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you unto the one true faith, which leads to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Glorious one, the glorious one.